Chief Perry, I have 2 o'clock, so whenever you're ready.
All right, I'm trying to make sure I got volumes turned up and volumes turned down so that I don't have any feedback. Can everybody hear me okay, or can anybody hear me okay?
You're loud and clear.
Very good. Well, like Darryl said, it's 2 o'clock, so we'll call the Communications Committee together. Darryl, do you know, have we got a quorum?
How about if I just called a roll? I actually just pulled up who I think is on the Communications Committee on the list that we got. So I have North Region, so either Marcus or Tyler.
Marcus is here.
Thank you, Marcus. South Region, either Tim or Hunter.
Hunter's here.
East Region, Chief Price or Chief Amberson?
Chief Price is here.
West Region, Chief Lazinski or Chief Sasser?
Chief Sasser's here.
Thank you, Chief. Raleigh Wake, is anybody on from Raleigh Wake? Bob, are you on?
No, I'm here.
And Leal's on. Okay. Hey, while I'm talking Raleigh Wake right quick, y'all had asked us to appoint Joshua Robinson. I think he's no longer with y'all. Do we need to get someone new appointed at the Fire Commission meeting coming up as the voting member from Raleigh Wake?
Yeah, probably. Let's hit up Dominic when he gets on. I think he was planning on getting on.
Okay. Chief Perry, you got a full house.
Very good. Thank you. As always, minutes are posted on WakeGov if anybody wants to go back and hear what we talked about one more time. So that's available there for you. Old business. Our first item for business of old business there is CAD update, outstanding issues. I guess I'll look for the Raleigh Wake staff if they've got an update on where we're at with any outstanding issues or CAD update. That kind of filters into PIPIAC and the client updates, but I'll go there first with Raleigh Wake, see if they've got anything they want to talk about on that side.
As for CAD updates right now, we're looking to be test out the new version on Training CAD when it's at an early release. It should be version 24.1, and we're looking at January. It was scheduled for November this year, and Central Square has pushed it back. So we were looking to be an early adopter with that. And as we get closer to that date, and we talk to Central Square, we'll obviously fill you all in on that. Other issues with CAD, we have some CAD-to-CAD stuff that we're working through right now with Terry at the moment. Having some issues with recommends coming across, recommends that we make for Terry. And also, they're having some issues with sharing of TAC channel information for dispatchers, so it's creating a little bit of confusion. But Terry has some open tickets on their side, working through that. That's all the major news right now. Most of our focus right now is working with Wake County EMS on setting up this nurse navigation line. So we're working on making some adjustments in CAD for that.
Anybody have any questions for the Raleigh Wake staff regarding outstanding issues? We've got a little bit of new business that we'll hit as well in a few minutes, but based on his report, any questions on that?
Chief Pierce, Darryl, because I continually get things about CAD to CAD. Are we making any forward progress on CAD to CAD whatsoever? I mean, we had issues this past weekend with Holly Springs and Apex and the lack of engines being sent appropriately based on run cards. It just feels like we made a little forward progress about 2 months ago, and now it's all stopped again.
Yeah, the biggest problem we had for a long time was just the reliability of the connection. We've kind of figured out some of that when we went back to the one server. I know Central Square is working on the two server solution. The biggest issue we have right now is the recommends, and that's what we're trying to figure out, and we're working with Central Square and all their teams with figuring out why these recommends are not going through. It's specifically when Raleigh Wake is requesting it from CAM. And we will see the request go through on our side on CAD, and they don't see it on theirs. And it's something to do with the statusing somewhere in the CAD-to-CAD hub. And we're working with Central Square on figuring out why this is happening.
Wasn't the, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, I'm just asking questions because I think if I don't ask, you'll hear it from somebody else on this call, and my tone may be a little better. Weren't we supposed to be, until we felt real good about it, following up with a TRICOM, or am I just dreaming that?
I believe that was correct, Daryl.
Yes, you are correct. They were supposed to be verifying it both ways. Carrie's supposed to be making sure we got it. We're supposed to be making sure we got it, and vice versa. But I believe there was one of the incidents from this that Doug Workman responded back to where that did not occur, and we're following up on our side to see why that did not occur.
Chief Perry, that's all I got right in a second.
Okay. While we got you guys here, and this may be a question for Pipiak. I see he's on as well. So we're still in the kind of the testing identification of issues related to the newer version of the CAD client. Brian, am I correct in recalling that we're waiting for a new upgrade before we can resolve some of the issues with rolling that out? Am I remembering that correct?
That is correct. We're still waiting on that new release that it was just spoken of, the one that comes out in January. It's supposed to have a lot of the fixes in place for the errors and deficiencies that we currently have.
Very good. And you connected the dots for me. I want to make sure that the one that we were waiting for is the one that's in the pipe, so to speak.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, there is just a... There was one release that they put in the training environment, but that one didn't contain all the fixes that are coming in the next one. And I believe, I'm not going to speak for them, but as I just said, that's why we're going to wait until that next full version that has all the fixes. Well, a lot of the fixes.
And I would encourage anybody that is identifying issues. Brian, I think Tim Herman and the group at Garner seems to be the best clearinghouse for funneling those through. If that's incorrect, please let me know. But if you're testing that thing, the Garner Fire Group is keeping a really good tally of what's out there and relaying that to you, if you'll just verify that that's still correct.
Yep. I've got some direct contacts. Been handing my cards out at various departments just to get direct feedback from the folks actually using it. And that's proven invaluable to fix and adjust things on the fly that we can adjust or identify the things we can't until the next release. But just thank you to everyone that's been providing the feedback, and please keep it coming.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else have any other comments or questions, anything that would be related to old business before we move to new business? All right. Under new business, first item we have is the response plan update. So we had the, the 7.1 version of EFD, and as always the case, there were some minor changes, a couple extra suffixes and that kind of thing. I apologize for not sending out that earlier. I had that on my list to do and completely overlooked it. So you see there the working document. And let's see, is Herman or, so let me back up. So I put together a small group of Chief Herman, myself, Joe Vendigny, Paul Roberts from Raleigh, Chief Smith from Raleigh, Daryl, I can't remember who else. But anyway, we went through each and every one of these changes. But they're really, they were all very, very minor in nature. And basically looked at those additional suffixes to see if they would need a new response. They're, from my perspective, there were very few really decision points because it was just a matter of adding the additional, adding the same response that that code is already getting and just extending that to the new suffix. But we did go through each one of them anyway, just to make sure if there was something there that, that needed a different recommendation that we brought that forth. So the spreadsheet in front of you are those recommendations. I'll leave it up to the group. Having been through this, I don't know that there's a need to go through these individually, but we can certainly go through anything anybody would like to. Chris Walton was very instrumental in walking us through what were the changes, and again, they were very, very minor in nature. So what is the feeling of the group as far as do you feel a need to go through and look at these, or if what I just provided as a matter of update, do you feel like that suffices?
Chris, I don't know that we've made any changes that would affect somebody's response in a negative manner. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, it's, and I, let me provide just a little bit of history for maybe there's a couple of newer people on the group. Occasionally when this happens, we see new responses and we have to figure out, does that get its own response? This new call type, and that's not exactly right, and Bob would get me for using the wrong term, but bear with me, Bob. But we see this new incident type, and we have to decide, you know, does that need its own, or does it fit into something else? Well, I don't know that we had any of that this time. It was really just real minor changes, as some things were broken out a little bit more than what they had been in the past. So, Daryl, to your point, it was a very, very minor lift. It was just a matter of going through all those suffixes. We did have a conversation. These were going to be implemented so that it would produce good recommends based on our initial recommendations. But if this committee or others decided we need to make a change, we could certainly do that. But all of this went ahead, and Bob can correct me if I'm wrong, but went ahead and pushed that out so that these new suffixes will be covered with matched up responses. So any questions you may have, and I don't mean to glance over this lightly, it's just there wasn't, it was kind of just detail work.
Hey, Chris, this is Jim in Fuquay. Just for my own personal knowledge, and it may be at the end, I just hadn't gotten all through it, but what is the color meaning, the yellow and the green?
Some of the, Bob may remember, or if Chris, some of them were changed and some of them were added. Bob, does that sound right? Like the X's and Y's might have been?
Yeah, so the X and Y's that you're looking at right there, they were added, and then the other ones were either changed or, say, for instance, there used to be a 52 Bravo 3, and now the 52 Bravo 3 is something else, and it moved that other one down to a 53 Bravo 4, so we had to add that one in. Does that make sense?
It does. Jim, does that help?
Yes, sir, it sure does. Thank you.
Any other questions? And what you see, I get just a little bit more context for the group. For example, we looked at, and about middle of the screen is 52 Bravo 2J, and we chose fire alarm. That's probably because all the other ones in there, well, all got a firearm response. So we added the same response that all the other suffixes were getting. It's just there's a new suffix, or just like Bob just mentioned, they added one up above it, and it got pushed down into a new one. So, again, a pretty light lift of deciding what should go. And I want to emphasize, we did have Raleigh Fire at the table as well, because you know, sometimes we make decisions such as this that affects them as well as it does us. So they were part of those conversations, especially when there were some that involved hazmat, for example. So, we can do this in one of two different directions. If you guys are good as a committee with what the group that I've mentioned to you has recommended, then we can go with that. If you guys would like to study this more and look more in depth, I'd be willing to schedule another session and let you really dive into this deeper to look at it. But quite honestly, from my perspective, it was pretty easy. So I'll yield for the pleasure of the group.
Chris, do you need a motion to accept it, move on, or does that sound like everybody wants to go through it again? And being a part of the group that went through it, you speak up and say there was absolutely nothing that didn't take an easy amount of time to say, yeah, that just matches perfectly with this. Let's move on. It matches with this. Nothing was out of the ordinary.
Yeah, from my perspective, Tim, if the group is good with it, I would like a motion to approve it. But if there's reservation because somebody said, he just sent it to me an hour ago, then I certainly respect that. And I would be happy to table that until a later meeting.
If there's no opposition, I make a motion that's accepted.
We've got a motion from Tim. Is there a second to the motion?
I second it, Marcus.
Seconded by Marcus. All in favor, North Region? I'll do a roll call. North Region votes. Marcus, you're representing North, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm representing North.
All right, it's an aye for the North Region. East Region?
Yes.
All right. South Region, Chief Herman?
Yes.
West Region?
Yes.
Did I get everybody, Darrell? Keep them straight now.
I think you did. And Chris, I think maybe I'm sitting here trying to think of a better way to explain this because I'm trying to think about a fire chief sitting there and saying, have they added something for me that I didn't know anything about? I think so. If there was a Alpha, Bravo, and a Charlie, there may have been a Delta added to a call class. You already had a response plan for that entire call class. We just said, yes, they've added a Delta. It's going to be the same thing. It's just a play on words in the EFD. So what everybody's got going is fine. Chris, is that's about right, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And so to your point, Darrell, let's say, for example, we as an individual department comes up and or any department comes up and says, hey, this new suffix, the response is out of whack. We can definitely look at that and make a change should we need to. But we just matched them up with what has been historically been done within that incident. So
yeah,
if something is not right, we can change it in the future.
To my knowledge, it was not a complete different call type created in this one where we had to say, okay, this is a new call type. What do we want to send for Fuquay or Fairview or Garner? It was basically, again, just a little tweak to some language that caused Charlie to become a Delta and so forth like that.
That's right. If anybody, I'll do it this way. Being unanimously it passed, if anybody has any questions, please reach out. I'll be happy to go over or find out the answers. Chris and Bob and those guys are experts at this, and they can explain any questions you may have. So the second part of this, related but yet unrelated, is our response to fire alarms. Chief Herman, do you mind framing this up as what you've asked the group to consider with the split in commercial and residential? And then my intent would be is then get input from Raleigh Wake on their opinion on filling this thing out, so to speak.
Yes, sir. So selfish as it is, Garner wishes to send a different response plan to residential than commercial. I thought it was built out that way, but it's not. It's just hydrogen versus non-hydrogen for fire alarms. So talking with Bob, it would take it's a system-wide change to build that out. If you wish to have the same response plan, then you would simply say, well, I want this to respond to commercial and I want this to respond to residential, and it could be exactly the same, and you know, the end user wouldn't see any difference. But if you wish to do something different, you have that option. But it's not something that could be done just for one single department. We took it to the Wake County Chiefs Association, and everyone agreed to support that, no opposition. So I asked to bring it before this committee if we wanted to be able to do that, and then Bob could speak up on what does this look like, what has to happen, what type of work are we looking at to build this, I guess, a new response plan. Bob, is that correct?
Yeah, it'd be a new response plan, and then we'd have to tie it to an incident type and go through all those steps to tie it to the dirt. So,
that's a good transition. So, Bob, from the Raleigh Wake side, that's what it would look like. If you got, you know, doable, if that's what, I mean, can you give us some feedback on, you know, your opinion on making that change? Doable or otherwise, or what have you?
No, it's really no different than they have the, for instance, the structure fires split out, you know. So it's really just a matter of just creating the new response plans and incident types, and then just tying them all together, so.
And then to reiterate what Chief Herman said, so if a department came up and said, well, I don't want to do anything different for my commercial versus my residential, they would just assign both incidents the same response, and they've effectively kept them the same. So,
Everybody would have to have a new response plan, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the same. So they can make theirs the same as their regular fire alarm. It just, other departments to change what their response is, we'd have to tie that to, because that would end up being a new problem nature, a new incident type, a new response plan. So,
probably, I'm guessing going into that, Bob, you would need from each department, you know, where they, what they want that response to be, if it's going to be something different. That way, you've got that kind of going into it.
That's correct.
Darrell, is that something that you or Joe would coordinate collecting that information?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be that hard. You're either going to want to probably lessen your response or keep it the same when you say going from a commercial to a residential.
So I open it up to the group. Anybody have questions or concerns or comments one way or the other on what's been requested? hearing any. I don't know that we necessarily need a motion, Darrell. Do you need a just something we do? Would you rather it be in a form of a motion?
I would like for y'all to support it. Say yes to group sports, splitting the response plans for fire alarms into a residential piece and a commercial piece.
Okay.
And I'm assuming, but Tim, I can't remember. Have we had this conversation with Raleigh since this agency-wide change?
No, sir, I don't believe so. I'm trying to think if they weren't at the Chiefs meeting. No, sir.
I don't think Paul was on. Paul Young? I would say go ahead and get what you're going to get, Chris, and then I'll have a conversation with Paul. I can't see how it would affect them that bad. Again, you're either going to keep it the same or probably reduce what you got going.
That's right. So I'll entertain a motion to approve or not approve or what have you.
I'll make the motion, Chris, since I brought it up.
All right. Have a motion, Tim Herman, to regarding splitting the fire alarms into commercial and residential. Is there a second?
I second it.
Was that Marcus?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Unless you guys have objections, I'm going to consider that a vote for on the south side and the north side. East side votes, Hal? Is Lee still there?
Yeah, we're good. Yes.
Very good. West side?
Yes, in support of.
Very good. So the motion passes unanimously. Next item on our agenda is the May Day policy update. So I want to give you just a little update of where we're at with that, and we can talk about it some more. So at our last communications committee meeting, we opened it up for questions. We got some questions from Chief Cash on behalf of Wake Forest and Roseville. I think we were able to answer several of his questions. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, Chief Cash, are you by chance on? I don't think so. I just don't want to speak for you if you're right here. But I think Chief Smith from Holly Springs reached out, and they had further discussions. And I think the concerns raised by Wake Forest and Roseville were addressed. One of the concerns that we had, or that was brought up, was Raleigh's, in an intent to make it a countywide May Day policy, was to make sure that Raleigh, because that did come up in our conversation at the last meeting about some change in staff at Raleigh Fire, and you know, were they still in and were they not in, or what was that status? So. We had a meeting last week where we brought Raleigh Fire in and went through it, and there seems to be a general desire among all agencies to have a single May Day policy. We did discuss at great length as well the efficiency of having a single May Day policy, not only for the fire departments, but for the centers, the PSAPs involved as well, if we're using the same May Day policy. So there was some technology questions that were asked about what could the radios do and what happens. So a meeting has been scheduled for a week or two from now to kind of resolve those technology issues and probably more so answer some technology questions as it relates to emergency button activation and that kind of thing. So, and that's where we stand today. Darrell, I'm gonna refer to you to tell me what I missed and what I misstated in that update.
I think you captured everything, Chief Perry. We just tried to get a meeting with the fire chiefs who had some questions in the room. A lot of other discussions took place. So, again, a meeting with the two PSAPs, with Wake County IS, with Motorola, and some other people, just to find out to make sure that we're using these radios to the fullest technologies that they have that we have purchased, and then also making sure on the CAD side of the house that we're utilizing the technologies that may be available there, so that if we make this change and everybody gets on board, we're using everything to its fullest extent.
Very good. Anybody got any questions about where we're at with May Day policy? I do want to stress, and Darryl, if I did mischaracterize this, but there does seem to be a desire to have one May Day policy, and that's, you know, there seemed to be a little bit of confusion of was that where we're going that way, and I personally think that that is the goal that we're working towards. So any questions or comments anybody may have? All right. So next item on our agenda, if there's no questions, radio reprogramming. So since we met last, we are now in the land of P25. So, Frank, you want to give us a little update on the radio system upgrade and our next steps?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah, So as you mentioned, we have we've completed the infrastructure cutover, and we spent the last couple of weeks taking care of, you know, tying up some loose ends with the PSAPs and some of the communication centers, getting them back to business as usual as much as we can. We've already started looking at some code plugs and starting some dialogues with some agencies to start getting them on the books for programming radio. So that's where we're at right now. We're actually doing COM1 today and yesterday, programming it. I think there's an event going on up in Wake Forest this weekend we wanted to get them ready for. And we've already started to demo code plugs with EMS. Just by the nature of the EMS, their nature of their operations, and with the new carry PS tax, we're focusing on them first, and we may start programming EMS as early as next week. And then the fire marshal's office, I want to get them in as soon as possible, taken care of, and then we'll start some dialogues with the fire department. So I know we've got some holidays coming up over Thanksgiving and Christmas, but our intent is to the extent that we can, push the code plugs over the air. We now have the capability to program the radios over the air, if your radios have that capability in them. So a great deal of the fire departments have this capability. So once we get into the nuts and bolts of scheduling, for example, we'll take Hopkins Fire, for example. We'll set up a date and time at Hopkins Fire. We'll have one of our guys on site, but we'll actually do the programming over the air. And the person that's there on site will be to make sure everything goes smoothly. The code plug changes are downloaded over the radio system into the radios. And when it's finished, the radio will indicate to you that update is available, and all you have to do is accept it, and the radio will relaunch that code plug, and you're good to go. So we've identified a couple of changes that we needed to make across the board, but I don't know of any major overhauls in the code plugs that we have to make, and that wasn't the intent, to make any major overhauls. The only thing I would ask, since we've got, you know, the governing body of the fire services on the line, is the new carry tax, PS tax 40 through 59. Do you want those in all of your radios, or right now they're only for the fire services in the radios with the departments that are immediately adjacent to and would be interoperable responders to the town of Cary? So the question is, do you want those in all of your radios? since they're not in range, I mean, if you're in Zebulon, you may not be able to listen in on any carry radio traffic.
Frank, from
when, when you ask that question, the first thing to come to mind is the way we currently dispatch units. A unit responding into carry could very easily come from outside of those that are immediately adjacent. The likelihood of it being all the way on the other side of the county is much, much less, but I know it's hard to draw that line to say you're too far away, because I think that's a relative term. Darryl, were you saying something when I interrupted?
You hit part of it. The second piece is based on the way that we do move up sometimes or coverage. If just use Fairview, for instance, if Fairview's got a big event going on, Zebulon could be sending an engine to Fairview with its crew to cover their station for an event. So, Frank, my preference would be if we had the room that we load the full set.
Okay, yeah, it's not a problem. I just wanted you guys to get your input on it, because if you're in Zebulon and you're like, hey, I want to hear what's going on over on Carrier on PSTAC 45, you may be out of range, because that's not part of the weight system, it's the carry system. So anything 40 through 4 or 59, you got to be closer to the town of Carrier to listen in on. So the point is I didn't want to fill the radio up with a bunch of stuff that's just going to take up space that you're never really going to use. But I do see your point, and I'll add those into all the fire code plugs going forward.
Frank, right.
Other than that, I don't have any real updates. Until we reach out to you to coordinate with you directly, that's the game plan, is to start with EMS, Fire Marshal's office, and then just start the dialogue with the fire departments to reach out and touch their radios.
Frank, in regards to the P25 switchover and the infrastructure, Chief Pope up on the north side, and it's a new tower up there as well, he has had some radios that he can set two radios side by side and they're out of range. And I know we've traded some emails and we've talked about preventive maintenance, but is there any way or any opportunity that with the tower change and the P25 that something has gone out of whack where they may be having issues up that way?
Outside of the preventative maintenance on the radios, I don't think so. I know these radios do have some auto desensing capabilities, meaning if you've got two radios sitting next to each other on the table, one may cancel out the other from receiving radio traffic. That's just the nature of the radio, though. But obviously, if the radio is out of tune, yes, that will affect it. I don't have the evidence at this point that tells me it's a system issue, because if that was the case, I would be hearing the same complaint from EMS, from the sheriff's office, from Raleigh PD that operates in the area, from other agencies that operate in the area, and I just really haven't heard of anything similar to that with these other agencies. So I'm not saying that it isn't a problem. I'm just saying I don't have any evidence at this time to point to a system-wide problem. It may be more of a localized, handheld radio issue.
I want to go back to a question or statement that you said. So you're saying if two radios are very near each other, one could cancel out the other one?
Yes. We have seen that actually happen before. If you have two handheld radios sitting side by side on the same system, on the same channel, sitting on the desk, and they receive, one may cancel that audio out from the one adjacent to it. But it's only when they're that close together. It doesn't affect it if you're standing across the room from each other.
Okay.
Chief Mayor, this is Chief Buck. May I interact?
Sure. Go right ahead.
So, hey, Frank, let me try to provide a little bit more information on this. I know in the 11 years I've been here, in the northern part of the county, and we've had some signal issues, and been the days when we're talking about moving off the Norwood Tower, moving to the 9850 to the new tower there, and the mapping was showing that it really that things should improve, and really the only areas that we may see a problem would be at the Freemore Road I-40 corner, which we haven't seen that happen. But the signal issue in the area did get better. There's still a lot of dead spots up here, especially when you move a little bit further north. But since the P25 change, we have seen areas within the circle that we're not getting the penetration that we used to get. Honeycutt and Durant, for example, on the scene, two different units, and we say radio side by side, 10, 15 feet of each other. One radio is transmitting, receiving fine. The other portable radio is out of range. So we reached out to Mobilecom, and that's when we found out, and maybe that's our fault, maybe we didn't get the memo, that our radios were supposed to be PM'd every 12 to 24 months. And we're looking at a cost of about $4,500 for Mobilecom to come and PM the radio. And I know you're able to look at the radios and tell when they need to be PM'd. And we don't have any on your list currently. So we don't know if it's a PM issue. We don't know if there's a tower issue. But something has caused the situation to worsen rather than get better, especially since we switched to P25. And that's both from a penetration standpoint within buildings, as well as in some areas where we never had problems before, that all of a sudden we're having out-of-range issues. So my concern is that I don't want to go spend $4,500 that's currently not in my budget to PM radios if that's not the problem. And I hate to see this continue to drag out because that does put us in a situation, and I don't know if this is occurring in other places in the county where we do have an incident, whether we have a Mayday policy or not. But if our people can't communicate, we end up somebody getting hurt. And then wish we had done something a little different. So that's sort of where we're at. I don't know the solution. I'm just looking for an answer.
Right. I hear what you're saying. And I will point out that list that we submitted as a reference is brand new. So it takes time for that list to populate with radios that require a PM. Because what the system is doing, it's listening for the radio transmission back to the system and from the system back to the radio. And it averages your settings over several transmissions. So, it takes, that's why we only publish it quarterly, because we get a good idea of the radios that are being used heavily and what their status is as far as being in tune or out of tune. So, with that list only being a week or so old, it doesn't surprise me that there's not quite a lot of more radios on it. It just takes time to fill that list up. So with that being said, though, and based on what you're saying, I'll ask the project team, since we haven't signed off on the project yet, to take another pass at that radio site to make sure something wasn't missed in the tuning of the radio site up there at the Creedmoor site, just to make sure we didn't miss something when we turned the old site down and the new site on. So I will ask them to do another pass up there on checking that site out.
Frank,
and this is a statement directly from Mobilecom that this area has network reach difficulties due to tower locations and terrain. So is it safe to say that, well, I think two questions. Should all of us be spending the necessary funds each year to do PM on our radios annually, like Mobilecom is recommending? And or should we rely on your list to make the decision on certain radios? The second question is, should we do anything as far as PM until that tower, to the tower is checked and make sure everything's good there?
I don't know that I'm in a position to give you an answer on that question. All I can do is give you the facts, and that is none of your radios at this time appeared on that list if it's your or the commission's decision to PM the radios, that's y'all's decision. I can't guarantee that PM the radios is going to fix the problem if it's a system issue.
Exactly.
And we haven't. I'd hate to see you spend your money for naught at this point. So I'm not in a position to make that decision for you. I can only recommend courses of action. So.
Frank, do you have a timeline on about how long it would take for them to check that tower and make sure?
I'm gonna as soon as we get off this call, I'm gonna make the call to get it in their queue to do it. So it may take a day or two to get up there and get it done and do a full PM on the site, because they got to go through every channel, and then they got to go through all the adjacent sites too. So to make sure that they're not causing problems with this site, but it can take a week or so to get through that PM on that site.
Would it be helpful if we tried to provide you some areas where we're having problems at?
It would, and that's something that we've always asked for years now. Anybody reporting it, and you guys have done that. You guys have been real good about doing that. Is if you have common and repetitive coverage issues, please let us know what channel were you on, the ID of the radio, the location of the issues, and we focus on those areas. So it is helpful to provide that information, yes.
As we're working
with... Can you guys hear me okay? I'm causing my own feedback over here. Frank, I don't know who would be in a position to provide, but I think Chief Pope's question is very valid as to, you know, when should we be PMing our radios? Should we be doing it once a year, once every 2 years, or just wait for there's a problem? I don't know who's in a position to answer that question, but that sounds like a reasonable question that I'm sure if we ask Motorola, they're going to say, you know, once a month or something, because that's how they make their money. But
I see your point in that light. I would say it no greater than every 2 years, PM all your radios. If you don't hear from us, or you don't see a report from us going forward, or you see it but you don't care to read it, whatever, at least don't let them go past 2 years without a preventive maintenance on them, because they do need that.
Very good. I think that's very helpful, because some of them probably, I can imagine some of them probably haven't seen any type of PM in a while, if ever. So anybody else got any other questions for Frank or regarding the radio reprogramming effort?
I got one, Frank, Chris.
Go ahead.
Any status update on EMS, the Raleigh Fire, being dispatched on the county fire channel?
Yes, I was trying to get to my mute button. So, yes, we've identified that as a problem in some radios, not all of them. And those agencies that we've identified that problem in, we're going to be programming. You're going to be at the front of the line programming. So, and programming that and fixing that program issue. So,
but that's not occurring in everybody's radio. Just some.
No, it's not. No.
Have you contacted those folks, or how have you identified that?
Looking at the code plugs from when you tell me that there's an issue. So really only you and the fire marshal's office and EMS are the only ones that have identified it as an issue. And I did confirm it in your radios that it is an issue that we're going to be addressing. But for example, in Roseville Fire, it's fine. It's they're fine. So, yeah.
Frank, this is Jim and Fuquay. You can add Fuquay to that list.
Fuquay is added to the list.
I'm emailing you now.
Hey, this is Bob. Can I jump in a second, Frank?
Yeah.
Tim, can you explain exactly what's going on, what you're referring to?
Yes, on our FD alert channel, we hear dispatches for all of Raleigh Fire, all of Wake County EMS, and County Fire. It's a very busy channel.
Wow.
And I did, and I don't know. So I'm in the car, and we had two calls pop up on the MDT. I never heard those two calls announced. Now, we didn't have a pager dispatching problem, but specifically was curious. It never came out across the air. There wasn't time for it to fit in, I don't think, at that time of day. Like right now, which I've had to turn my stamp off, I'm sitting in my car right now. But it's very busy.
Okay, because the only reason I'm asking is that locution tells the radio system what channel to announce on. I was trying to clarify if you're just hearing those units while you're on a call with them, or somebody else is on a call with them over the alert channel.
I'm hearing the page when it pages out Chief 200, check ESTAT. EMS going along, Raleigh fire engine,
okay.
EMS go. Yeah.
Okay. I that's all I wanted to clarify, because I wanted to make sure it wasn't a locution side problem.
Yeah, and I don't know what the problem is. I just wanted to make sure it's not. Are they all being funneled under the same server? Is it that, or is it just, and I don't know what's going on. I just want to make sure we're not delaying getting calls out because we're all funneling in one channel.
Darryl, can you or your staff email all the chiefs with a brief description of what Chief Herman's describing and poll the group? I can't help but think, we just went from one to two to three on this call. I got to think there's other chiefs out there that thinks that we're working on this for them, but we don't even know it's broke for them. I may be totally wrong, but it sure sounded like it.
No, I'll be glad to. We've been answering EMS calls at the fire marshal's office for about 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah, and the problem that we've identified, that's what I'm doing, is going through each department's code plugs to verify that when we do push out the changes that it is addressed at that point in time. So I'm looking at every one, whether you're reporting to me you have it or not, I'm making sure that's being addressed. But I do know that it's not in all of the fire department's code plugs.
Yeah, we haven't had that issue here, so. Any other questions related to radio program? Frank, this has been extremely helpful. Anybody else got any questions?
Hey, Chris. Chief Curtis, Hunter, Crawley Springs.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hey, I may have missed it, but is anybody else getting the tone coming through the FD alert channel as well, like the old school pager tone?
That was going to be my question also.
Bob, I know, Bob, you fixed that, but it appears to be back. I'll refer that to you.
Yeah, that should be fixed. So you're saying it's still occurring right now?
Yeah, I think it started back again.
Yeah, Bob, I heard it last night.
Yeah. It's kind of sporadic because it's not for two or three tones. Sometimes it just does one tone or two tones. Doesn't do all of them.
All right, I'll take a look. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else anybody has on radio stuff?
Hey, Chris, this is Jim again. And I posed this question to Darryl, and he told me to email him, and he would forward it out to Frank. And I just haven't done it, so I figured Frank's on here. Maybe he can answer the question. We've ordered some new portable radios in the last month, and Motorola told us that we had to include the TDMA option. They said that when we made our big bulk order a few years ago, it was an option at that time, and we chose not to do it just because of the sheer cost of it. But they're telling us now that it is a required option because it is going to be, I guess, federally mandated by 2025. And I was just curious if the radios in Wake County had that, the ones that weren't bought by a municipality, and if not, then it may be something that we may need to look down the road to put in for budgeting to plan to do that, because according to what I've been told, it's going to be a requirement that the radios that don't have it have to be upgraded.
Yes, so just a little clarification on that. It's not a federal mandate, it's a state mandate. Viper
has announced that they are going full TDMA in 2025. And so January the 1st of 2020, I told Motorola, I said, any radio purchase for Wake County from here on out has to have the TDMA option, so we would be in compliance with that. So obviously the radios that we purchased prior to that did not have that option, and the intent is, or my intent is to start looking for some grant funding that will allow us to purchase that upgrade for the radios that we have in service today. So the Wake County system, we don't require it. We don't really need it, but the need is for Viper and Viper interoperable partners, because once they make the switch to full TDMA, we've got to have that capability in our radios to talk with Viper, just like much of the agencies with Johnson County. They're full TDMA, and they won't allow any new agencies on the system to share their system unless you have TDMA capabilities in their radio. And I know Knightdale has gotten all their radios upgraded for TDMA, or the radios that weren't capable. So yes, it's not a federal mandate. It's a state mandate, and it's solely for the purpose of the interoperability with Viper. And the projected date or announced date for Viper is 2025 at this point. So we have 3 years before it's required, but my goal was, or my intent was, to start looking next year, which is just a couple months away, for grant funding that will allow us to purchase that option.
So, Frank, you probably got
that makes sense. And I was just curious, because we're gonna, with our municipality and our budget process, we plan out, 5 to 6 years. So that is something, and we're gonna have to plan out. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of it and make sure I was hearing it correctly. And apologize about using federal instead of state.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine.
Frank, so you probably got everybody's attention now, since we're talking about funding. So let's say that you can't find grant funding. Have you got an estimated cost per radio that the cost shares and the tax district can get ready for a fiscal year 24, which is only 2 years away, for funding?
Well, the last amount I got for TDMA was $600 or $700 per radio. Now, that may have improved. That cost may have improved. I don't know. Chief Jones, if you got a better number from Motorola.
No, you're right on it. And what really popped this up was the flyer that Motorola sent out with some discounts on radios a month or so ago. And at the bottom of the flyer, it had through November 30th, they were offering half price to do the TDMA update. So that's why I was curious.
Yeah. Well, they offer sales like that periodically that we don't know of, or they want to announce ahead of us for funding purposes. But, I wish we had a crystal ball to say, hey, what are y'all doing, 2 years from now in that quarter? You're going to give us another 50% discount. That'd be a great time for us to get it. But yeah, that's the price per radio that I'm aware of that they're asking for it. And that's subject to change. I have already started that dialogue with our account manager and said, hey, look, if we get a bulk order for this, if we order 1,000 of these, are you going to give us a significant discount? And then he told me yes. He said the larger the order, the better deal they can cut us. So the point being is, if you just do one or two radios or you get 25, you're likely to pay the full price. But if we go in and order 1,000 collectively, they can probably get us that 50% discount. But yeah, grant funding right now seems to be the best avenue, because it is a technology change and it's not something that we require, but we require it for interoperability. So that would be the platform for asking for that grant funding, is interoperability purposes with the state.
Frank, is
good to
go ahead. I'm just running numbers in my head here. Frank, is there a way you can let us know as soon as possible? Again, we're only talking 2 fiscal years away, and the amount of radios that's in the tax district, when you look at cost share and then 100% for not-for-profit, To have to pull $500,000 out of the air would probably be a stretch.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I get enough time to focus on that, and, of course, my main focus right now is getting the system fully cut over, but I'm not saying that to say it's not important. It's just I need to turn my attention to that, and next year is when I plan to do it, meaning January is when I start really focusing on, all right, the next big thing right now is this TDMA upgrade for our radios. So, yes, the short answer to your question is yes. As soon as I find some information out, I will definitely get you guys engaged on it.
Any other questions on radio reprogram? All right. Thank you, Frank. I think we've put the spotlight on you long enough.
Oh, it's all right. Anytime.
You're good for it. Appreciate it. CAD agency split. Daryl, you want to walk us through that item?
Not really. I'm hoping Bob will help me out here. So for the group, I don't know if you remember or not, but, and of course, EMS has gotten a little better, but in the height of their response issues and delays and all, they were taking cutting off fast dispatch and auto dispatch, from their Chief 200 whenever they went into ESTAT and got in bad shape. So we started to realize that that was affecting us along with other things. So some conversations started taking place, and it appears that EMS was very interested in splitting out of the agency. So it brought up other conversations, and we've had several meetings about, is it a pro for us to split agencies and maybe EMS go their own way and then Raleigh Fire and County Fire stay together? Or when we split agencies, does EMS go their own way, Raleigh Fire go their own way, and County Fire goes their own way? The big piece of this from the 911 center, and Bob, you and Dominic can correct me if I'm wrong, is this is an enormous amount of reprogramming and software changes if we were to do that, and it's going to come with a cost. And we won't have any idea of what the cost is until we figure out, is Raleigh Fire and County Fire going to stay together and EMS just goes, or is it three ways or what? But so, Bob, do you remember, you were at the meeting, any of the pros and cons?
I mean, there's a long list that EMS sent about those. So, I mean, it'd take a little while to go over all those. But yeah, I mean, EMS is looking at this from a standpoint of trying to kind of do their own thing and not be tied to, for lack of a better term, a fire dirt and ownership of that dirt, and kind of making decisions on their own about their responses and everything. So that's kind of where that's stemming from. But at this point, a decision has not been made, and we're still investigating. So,
and the dirt piece, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but when he says tied to the dirt, there couldn't be, because we're in the same agency, there couldn't be four response zones for EMS laid on top of everybody's fire district. So EMS was built out on top of the Fiorina Fire District and the Town of Fuquay Fire District and Fairview and so forth. So they can't change much of what they do with that unless they do their own thing. I know that another piece was all the data for the fire departments come through when they're looking at raw CAD reports. They have to sort through that to get, you know, the engines and rescues out of the way to find their trucks and so forth. So it's and I can't remember. Chris, do you remember any pros and cons that we actually come up with on the fire side?
The biggest pro that I recall is, you know, just what you mentioned as example. If they get busy and they cut off auto dispatch, that has a negative impact on our call processing time, and it trickles down from there. So a pro to splitting it is when they cut it off, it doesn't affect us. Ours, that was one that came to mind. There were lots of questions brought up relative to the way, you know, some of the benefits that we have of being a single agency, you know, that's why we did what we did, because it has benefits to it. So the question is, would those be sacrificed if they were split out? Maybe they would, maybe they would not, but those were some of the conversations. And then another conversation that entered into that is, you know, if for example EMS is the driver for splitting these, should the fire tax be charged with bearing part of that expense? I heard one comment made by one person that, yeah, it might not be a bad thing to do, but it's not worth spending hundreds of thousands of fire tax dollars on. So not that I don't say that speaks for everybody, but that was the comment, and that very well may be valid, that we and we're okay with splitting them, but not to the point that we want to not do other things that we've identified as priorities within the fire tax budget just to do this. I don't know if I'm speaking correct on that or not. You may have heard different, Darrell.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, at what cost is a squeeze worth the juice? Chief Herman, do you remember any of the pros and cons for the group?
As it relates to pros for the fireside, the only one I remember is what we've already discussed. And I'll bring this up. I mean, what gives them the right to cut that off? Like you said to me, we couldn't. If I called up there right now and told Bob to cut off fast dispatching because Garner's getting slammed right now with fire alarms, would he do it? No. So if that's the biggest problem, why isn't their conversation happening? If that's not, what's the other option? What happens? Why are we cutting it off? Because we run out of ambulances. So if what does it do after that? Is that why we're cutting it off? Or but then I saw the list from EMS, and it's several pages. So if they really want to split, not to me, there's no benefit for fire. They want to have their own dispatch side of the house, whatever. Let them do it, and they front the cost of it totally. That's on them. I don't know enough about it to really weigh in, though. Enough facts.
Bob, other than the dirt piece, is there a solution to cutting off auto dispatch, any technology solution to that, or it is what it is?
No, there's not. The short answer, it's tied, auto dispatch is tied to each response plan. So since EMS doesn't have their own response plans, they're all tied to all the fire response plans for each department.
And this is Dominic. Let me clarify. It wasn't EMS that turned it off. The problem became for us is that if auto dispatch is still on and EMS is in ESTAT, what happens is we, as a unit frees up and we're trying to dispatch a unit, auto dispatch is going to grab it, and it created a lot of confusion and mistakes, which is why we had to turn it off when they're in ESTAT more than 15 minutes to alleviate the errors. It wasn't EMS that did that. We had to do that in order to keep it straight.
Dominic, I appreciate you trying to take the heat on that, but I think I've been told directly that Chief 200 would ask y'all to cut off the auto dispatch so they could maneuver the units like they wanted to when they went in ESTAT.
And Darrell, you're correct on that. I've heard that on the radio on multiple occasions.
That is happening, but I just wanted to say that we've done it also. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, I just didn't want... I'm okay with beating you up when you deserve beating up. I didn't want you to get beat up for no reason.
Thank you, Darrell.
So at this point, Darrell, for us, it's just kind of a let everybody know what's going on, be thinking about it, there's more to come. Is that an accurate way to characterize it?
I guess it is, but I think everybody's almost waiting on us for an answer. So if you're asking me as the fire services director, do I support agency split? I think my answer is no, because I don't know enough about it cost-wise or benefit-wise on the system to give an answer. But I would like some feedback from y'all as the communications committee, because I think, Dominic, y'all need an answer to move forward. Now you won't talk. Come on, Dominic.
I lost him.
No, I'm sorry. I muted myself. What it is, Daryl, in order for us to get an accurate estimate and look at the scope of the work, I believe, and I'd have to go back and look at it, it's going to be like 20-some thousand to get a thorough analysis of it and to take a look at it before we even approach the rest. So it's not free, and it's gonna be sort of expensive to look into it. And in order for us to do the work, the other part outside of their quote is gonna be that it's gonna also incur us having to get like a contractor or someone, or maybe get Central Square to have people to come in to help build it, because that means we have to maintain the current CAD system while building the new one. If you remember, that was one of the things before we went live with this new CAD, we went down to Charleston and looked at it because they went through the same thing, but they did it opposite. So we could try to avoid this cost.
Yeah, that's what has stood out to me, Dominic. To your point, if I recall correctly, I don't recall a lot of things correctly, but we went into this thinking separate agencies, and when we went to Charleston, I won't say we left there, but very quickly after that, we decided we need to be all one agency, and this would be, like you said, the exact opposite of going back and splitting. Yeah.
Right, and that's what you're trying to avoid, but yes.
So Chris, I'll give you something I think you might can work with. I would say that we are neutral, and if EMS wants to spend, or the county general fund, or wherever it comes from other than the fire tax district, if they want to spend $20,000 with Raleigh Wake to do some investigation on what this would really cost, then we're okay as long as it don't come from the tax district. But at this point, we're neutral.
And then there's also one other thing that I forgot to mention, is that if you split agencies, it could quite possibly mean additional personnel, because that was one of the things that we also saw in Charleston. Because you're not tied to the same agency, it's going to require us to do additional work to get a call out, because you're not in the same agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Daryl, I like your version. I'm not hearing an overwhelming feeling of this group that, yeah, we need to jump in here and pursue this and fix this big problem. I'm not hearing that. I think it's more like you stated, that if they want to investigate it, then we'll wait to hear the results, but we're not a driving part of this this change. So does anybody feel different? Please speak up now. Daryl, I would be okay if asked that it's the consensus of this group that's our stance. If you think that's good enough.
I think that works for me, and I think Dominic's got the answer that he was looking for at this point.
I have. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Was there anything else? That's all the items we had on our agenda for today. Is there anything that we need to talk about that wasn't on the agenda?
Hey, Chris, I got one thing.
Sir.
Daryl brought up, and thankfully remembering this about adding Raleigh on the committee.
That's something we had to vote on. He was going to bring it up. Was it Paul on the committee or something?
They inquired. Was there an opportunity for that? I'm not sure where they stand, but I know that the more we try to work with Raleigh and some possibility of some other things going on, that from the county standpoint, I wouldn't have an issue with Raleigh Fire Department having a voting or contributing spot on this committee, but I'll leave that up to y'all.
And we, Chief Irma, to your point, so we try, and I think I speak for the group, whether it be we being Darrell's office or the Raleigh Wake group, we try to involve Raleigh Fire whenever we make decisions that affects Raleigh Fire. I don't know, speaking for myself, I don't know that how well we do that, but we do try to make a genuine effort to include them. As the update to EFD being an example of that, we knew that whatever changes we made would potentially affect them, so they made sure they were at the table. And I think that that's where that request kind of came from, is maybe they'd like to, you know, be more of a become more of a part of the group as compared to an invited guest. But I don't know where they stand at today, but I definitely would support their involvement in anything that we do that involves them, for sure. It would be my personal perspective.
And Chris, I know they're on a different PSAP, but I mean, I don't know that Kerry, bringing Kerry in wouldn't be a bad thing. Again, you know, I go back to trying to do a countywide Mayday policy, trying to be, you know, get county input for a lot of different things. Again, I'll leave that up to y'all.
Anybody have a comment for, against, or otherwise? We're definitely right in that Switzerland range, you know, of we're good with whatever.
Chief, I think it would be a good idea to include somebody like Kerry, because just as we had conversations in the chief's meeting the other day relating to the Mayday policy, they're going ahead and programming their radio so it stays on the tech channel. That's probably something that would have come out in this committee meeting as we discussed it. So having them involved, I think that's just a good idea.
And Chief Price, just for clarification, you're speaking of Raleigh and Kerry, correct?
Yes, because I think the more that it's just like we found that day, I was texting Chief Wild at Raleigh, and he said that he had not had any communications for a while about the Mayday policy, and so including them as much as we can in these committees, especially with things that affect them, I think that is the best way to go.
Sure. Thank you. Anybody else comments? Darrell, I don't know procedurally how we go about doing any of this. I don't know that my gut tells me that the fire commission would have to bless that. I don't know that a committee can open itself up to other groups. I don't even know how that works. Yep. Is that something that...
I would be glad to carry this to the fire commission on y'all's behalf as a recommendation for adding two spots to the committee for Kerry and Raleigh, if that's what y'all want.
I'll make the motion. This is Herman, that we had a representative from the city of Raleigh and from the town of Kerry.
Second.
Motion and a second. That covers the south and the east. West, how does the west vote on the motion?
Yes, agree.
Have a yay vote from the west and the north.
Yes.
Motion carries. So, Darrell, if you'll do that, if you'll carry that request, and then we can work back through those other channels as far as getting appointees and that kind of thing.
Yes, sir. I will put that as an item for business on the agenda for next week.
Very good. Anything else for the group today?
I'll mess around with it.
As always, I appreciate everyone's time. If you have anything, don't mind reaching out to us. Regularly scheduled, we'll meet again, if I'm not mistaken, in January, the second Wednesday in January. So if something comes up where we need to call this group together before then, we'll do it. But in absence of that, our next regular scheduled meeting will be in January. So thank you, everybody, for your time today, and we'll see you at the next one. We are adjourned.